What's up, everybody? How y'all doing? Good evening. Good evening. This is Dr. Stacy L. Spencer, and you are on Real Talk. We're going to have some real talk tonight about how we go from good to great. How many of you know that there's another level for your life, that God does not want you stuck in the same place you were yesterday or last year? It's time to move from good to great. And sometimes good is the enemy of great. Come on, let's get in it tonight. I hope that you all are doing well. We're back for round two. Last week, we talked about what it meant to be a level five leader. Tonight, we're talking about who's on your bus. Double Dutch bus driving down the street. Yeah, we're going to talk about that tonight. How's everybody doing? Did you have a good day? I hope you had a great day. Hey, Tiffany. Hey, Terrell. Hey, Carolyn. How you doing? What's going on, Glennon? What's going on, Crystal? Lisa Jones, what's happening? Hey, Tiff, good to see each and every one of y'all on tonight. Cantonese, what's happening? Good to see you. Sade, what's up? Evelyn, Constance, what's up? My home girl, how you doing? Hope your foot is getting better. Raven, good evening. Hello, everybody. Mom of 13. My. Linda Carter, good to see you. Y'all doing all right? It's so good to see each and every one of you this evening. Y'all ready to jump into it tonight? I want to have some discussion around the topic, who's on your bus? Last week, I referenced a book that was written back in, I think, in 2001 by Jim Collins. It's called Good to Great. And the book, basically, it's a business book, but it has some spiritual principles. Jim Collins and his team researched 1,400 organizations to find out what made them great. When they narrowed it down, it was only 11 organizations, according to their metrics, that were great organizations. And there were seven principles that made them great. One of them was is that the organization was led by a level five leader, a level five leader. We talked about what a level five leader was in terms of being competent, having a skill set and a will set, being a team player, moving the organization forward, and wanting more out of your teammates, wanting to see them succeed more than you want your own self to succeed. That is a level five leader. So tonight, the second part of that is who's on your bus. So again, I'm so glad to see each and every one of y'all on tonight. Put some fire in the chat if you're ready to take your life from good to great. If you yourself, if you want to go from good to great, you know there's another level for your life, can you put some fire in the chat? Can you tap that screen, TikTok? Come on, I just need the great people. If you're comfortable with good, just step and keep looking at the screen. But if you want to be great, I want you to tap that screen three times and just let me know who you are. Put some fire in the chat and say, I want to go from good to great. Come on, talk to me tonight. Listen, do me a favor, share this stream on your page, all my loyal TikTok followers, all my loyal Facebook followers, all my loyal YouTube followers, LinkedIn, wherever y'all are, X, wherever you are tonight, would y'all please share? Don't be greedy. Give to the needy. Somebody needs this tonight. So listen, Erica, good to see you back home. I want to talk tonight about who's on your bus. So I want to use this scripture. Y'all already got your Bibles out. Keep your Bibles up because I am a Bible teacher. Acts chapter 15, 36 through 41, tells a story about Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, when they have a disagreement. Listen to this. It says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with him, but Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. And commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Did y'all hear what happened? Paul and Barnabas, they were together. They were going to circle back and check on the churches they had planted in Asia Minor. But Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. But Paul did not want to take John Mark because, watch this, John Mark had deserted them and was no longer doing the work. So Paul wanted him off the bus, wanted him off the ship. And they had such a dispute about it that Paul and Barnabas split and picked new partners. Somebody's in a season where you have to determine who is going to stay on your bus and who's got to get off. If you've experienced some people who have quit on you before, what's to say they won't quit again? If you got some people on your bus that are not working and you're doing all the work, you've got to get them off your bus. Because watch this, we move at the speed of relationships. Can somebody type that in the comments? We move at the speed of relationships. The reason you're not going very far in life or very fast or being productive is you may have the wrong people on your bus. You've got to get the right people on your bus. Can somebody type in the comments, I've got to get the right people on the bus. Watch this. If we're going to move from good to great, we are going to have to answer the question, who before what? Can somebody type that in the comments? Who before what? It seems kind of counterintuitive to think that you would think of the who before the what. What are we going to do? What are we going to accomplish? But before you can answer that, you got to answer the question of who. The who is more important than the what. Who are you going to take with you? Because who you determine is on your bus determines what you're going to get done. Because if you have the wrong people on the right bus, you are not going to be able to do the right thing. You've got to have the right people on your bus. This is not just for business. This is for life. Some of y'all have the wrong people on your bus. You only move at the speed of your relationships. And some of y'all got some people who have quit on you, abandoned you. Why are you chasing after people who quit on you, ghosted you, abandoned you? You've got things to accomplish. You don't have time trying to go chase down people who don't deserve to be on your bus. Watch this. It's a known fact that the right team is needed to achieve the success. But what is even more important is to build the right team even before you know what and which path to take forward towards greatness. And hence it's first who, then what. It's important to assemble a team. It takes a team to make the dream work. Teamwork makes the dream work, right? The main reason is that when people join you for the strategy or the direction of the company, then there's no guarantee that they will stick around or be equally motivated when the company changes its path. It's why it's so important that you vet who is on your bus. Because watch this, life is going to throw some curveballs at you. Things are going to change. You're going to have to change the direction of your company. And you need some loyal people on that bus with you who are not going to switch sides just because things get difficult or you have to change course. Are y'all listening to me? You got to have some people who are resilient, who have some flexibility, who trust your vision, and who have, watch this, they're level 5 leaders. You need people who are competent. You need people who are committed. You need people who move the organization forward. You need people, watch this, who want to see the team succeed more than they want their own individual success. You've got to pick the right people in this season, because if not, people will switch up on you. Can somebody type in the comments, watch out for people who switch up too easy. I like what John Morant said when the Grizzlies were hitting a season where they were struggling. He says, no, stay on that side. Stay on that side. Don't come back when we're winning. I saw a post the other day and it said, notice their silence when you're winning. But I want to add to that, notice their silence when you're losing. Do you have some people who will ride with you even when it appears you're not winning right now? I love one of my favorite teams. My favorite football team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I've been a Steelers fan since the 1970s. And I'm excited about Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan, the GM. They have gathered a group of talented players this year. I'm excited. And they were asking Mike Tomlin, was he desperate about filling some holes in his team? And Mike Tomlin says, I'm not thirsty for filling any positions. I'm very confident in what we've acquired, and I'm confident we're going to pick the right people to fill those empty positions. And so what Mike Tomlin understands is that in order to build a winning team, you can't be so thirsty that you get desperate and just put anybody in position. I need to say that again for somebody who is single, somebody who's trying to find the right person to plug into your situation. Don't be so thirsty that you take the first thing that comes across your path. Sometimes, good God Almighty, sometimes you got to wait on the right person. Sometimes you got to say no to good so that you can get great. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes you got to say no to good people until you get a great person. Because watch this, you're going somewhere great. You've already been to good. You need somebody who's great. And that may require you to say no to good in order to get great in position. Somebody type in the comment, don't be thirsty that you settle for good when God has great. I hope I'm helping somebody already. You cannot be so thirsty that you just put anybody in position, because watch this. It's hard to fire once you've hired. That's why they always say be slow to hire and quick to fire. You've got to vet the people in your relationship, on your team, in your business, in your organization, on your church leadership team, because you don't want people who are going to switch up on you when things get hard. It's also important to be rigorous in the people decisions. There are three practical ways to do this. Y'all ready for it? Somebody say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I need to check who's on my bus. I need to check my roster, make sure I got the right people on my bus. Here's how you do it. Number one, when in doubt, do not hire. I'm going to say that again. And some of y'all are saying, Pastor, is this just for church leaders? Is this just for business? No, this is for all y'all. This is for all of y'all. Even, watch this, people who are your friends, these principles ring true. When in doubt, do not hire. When you have that gut feeling that something's not right about a person, you cannot ignore red flags. You can't be so thirsty that you close your eyes to red flags. Do they only talk about themselves? Are they team players? Are they consistent? You got to spend some time vetting people, measure twice and cut once. And if you got any doubt, don't hire them. Am I helping anybody? When you got intuition that tells you, guard your heart, go slow, pump the brakes. Don't hire just because you need someone, because if you hire the wrong person, it'll take you more time to fix and unravel what the damage they've done than if you would have just waited and left the position vacant. Some of y'all need to leave your bedrooms vacant. Y'all not going to talk to me. Some of y'all need to leave some of your relationship seats vacant. Some of y'all need to leave some positions in your businesses vacant until it is you find people who pass your red flag test. Many of y'all have already been in enough bad relationships that you know a bad person when they walk in the room. They ain't even got to open up their mouths. You already seen this movie before. So why are you fooling yourself thinking that you're going to put somebody in there when you've already got some doubt in you? When in doubt, do not hire. You have to pay attention to the red flag. Sometimes we're so thirsty or desperate for help that we overlook red flags like timeliness, consistency, arrogance, selfishness, unprofessionalism. The truth of the matter is that someone can be uber talented but toxic. Let that marinate for a minute. Y'all help me real quick. Is it possible for somebody to be super talented but bad for your organization? Tell me why. Come on, talk to me real quick. I want this to be interactive. Don't just look at me. Talk to me. Is it possible for people to be super talented but bad for your organization? Tell me why. Come on, talk to me. Tell me why. How is it somebody can be gifted, talented, and watch this, even anointed, but bad for your organization? I saw a post today on Facebook. This pastor, he's a consultant. He said, be careful of people who are talented, gifted, who want to go start churches, but are emotionally immature because they can hurt more people than they can help. Maria says they can have an attitude problem. They can talk too much, different morals. They don't love people. They got an attitude, bad foundation. They have hidden agendas. Yeah, You can be super talented, but have bad character. You got to make sure you've got the right people on your bus. Many churches suffer with the developer's dilemma. We go out to recruit these charismatic leaders who are star players, but don't know how to develop people. There's a danger when you have somebody on your team who's a star player, but doesn't know how to develop a team. I remember when Michael Jordan was with the Chicago Bulls, and he used to win scoring title after scoring title, and Phil Jackson came along. He says, Michael, do you want to win more scoring titles, or do you want to win a championship? He said, if you want to win a championship, you're going to have to make the other players better around you. Glory be to God. Y'all, in this season where God is taking you, you got to make sure that the people around you are as strong or stronger than you. And you cannot just be a star player with people who are undeveloped on your team. You've got to start raising up. You got to start discipling people. You've got to start teaching what you expect to see in other people. This starts with your children. It starts in your relationships. You've got to make the people better around you, or your bus ain't going nowhere. Oh, somebody say, I got to get my bus right. I got to get my bus right. Watch this. Number two. Y'all still with me tonight? When you know you need to make a people change, act on it. Act on it. When you know you need to make a people change, act on it. Somebody type, act on it. Listen to this. I was at a conference once, and pastor asked all the leaders in the room, he said, how many of y'all, if you were to start your organization over next month, and you had to start it completely over, how many of you would leave some of those people off your team? I want to ask y'all tonight. I want you to say, I would or I would not. If you were to start over in life, with a different team, you had to start your organization over, your ministry over, your business over. How many of you would start with different people than the ones you have right now? Somebody type in the comments, I would, or type, I would not. I want to see how many woulds I have. If you were to start your organization over next month, how many of you would start over with different people than the ones you have right now? Can y'all, I would. I see a lot of I would. James, I see you. I see you. Martinette, I see you. I see you. Brenda, I see you. I would. I see you. I would. Miss Smiley says, I would. Tiffany says, I would. Now let me ask y'all a question then. Trenton, I see you. I would. Aaron Cruthard, says, I would. As a matter of fact, somebody came up to me Sunday, and he said the new superintendent for Shelby County Schools is making all of her administrators re-interview for their jobs. I think that's brilliant. I think it's brilliant because sometimes people get complacent and they think they take their job for granted as if they're just on automatic pilot. So the new superintendent is making everybody interview for their jobs. Now watch this. You shouldn't worry if you got good gifts and you're good at what you do. You shouldn't worry. If you're a level 5 leader, you have nothing to worry about. But watch this. That man that asked that question, here's the catch to that question I just asked you. He said, how many of y'all would start over with different people than you have right now? Everybody raise room. Here's the second part. He said, why are they still with you? I'm going to let that marinate. Why are they still with you? Can y'all talk to me? Talk back to me. Come on, please. This is good. Can y'all tell me honestly, why do you still have the same people on your team if when you started over, you would start over with different people? Why are they still on the bus? Huh? Why are they still on the bus? Comfort. Thank you, Hannah. Hannah says she's comfortable. She's grown comfortable with dysfunction. We've normalized dysfunction. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. Huh? Convenience. It's more convenient just to hold on to be familiar with the devil that you're familiar with. than it is to try for a different angel. They won't go away. Yoshi said they won't go away. Sometimes it's hard to let go of what you're familiar with. Don't want to hurt their feelings, their family. Ah, yeah, yeah. You can choose your friends, but not your family, because they're scared. Listen, we have to make sure that when we realize that the wrong people are on the bus or the wrong people are in the wrong seats, you got to act on it. Watch this. When you are a leader and people know who the bad apple is on your team and you don't do nothing about it, you lose credibility with the rest of the team. They're looking at you crazy because you're the leader and you see these people not performing, yet you don't do anything to get them off the bus. And so the morale suffers in your workplace. Other people like, well, if they're not going to step up, I'm going to step down. And your productivity goes down and your credibility as a leader goes down because you are not acting on the people that are underperforming because you don't want to hurt their feelings. And so you let them hurt the organization because you're not woman enough or man enough to act on what you know needs to be done. They don't need to be on that bus. Somebody type in the comments, I got to get them off the bus. I'm actually in a season where I've distanced from everybody who have just been seat holders. I've been praying to get out of comfort and familiarity. Lorna, you're not the only one. Lorna Frazier says, I'm actually in a season where I've distanced myself from everybody who has just been seat holders. I've been praying to get out of comfort and familiarity. Somebody type in the comments, I'm getting rid of seat holders. Oh my God, Lorna, that is so profound. Even in church, we got a lot of people who are seat holders. They're only in position for titles. They want to be seen, but they don't want to do nothing. Y'all, in this season where we're going, we cannot have people who are asleep while we're driving. We need some people who are engaged, some people who are working, some people who don't abandon their roles and their responsibilities. We don't need seat holders. We need people who are active passengers, who are engaged. I need somebody to keep me awake. I need somebody to help me watch the road. I need some people who want to do some work. Are y'all with me? Watch this. Y'all ready for number three? Here's my last point. I ain't gonna hold y'all long tonight. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. Number three. Put your best people on biggest opportunities, not on the biggest problems. I'm going to say that one more time. Put your best people on the biggest opportunities, not on the biggest problems. Sometimes we're so crisis oriented in life that we waste the anointing and talent of great people on problems instead of putting great people on opportunities. You've got to recognize the capacity of the people on your bus and put the right people in the right seats on the right stuff. I want my best and brightest people on what's most important, not on stuff that just keeps them busy. Does that make sense? Huh? You need your best and your brightest on opportunities. Let me see if I can bring this out scripturally. In Acts chapter 6, there's a problem, Houston. There's a problem in Acts 6. It says, during this time, as the disciples were increasing in numbers by leaps and bounds, they were growing. Their organization was growing. They were growing by leaps and bounds. Hard feelings developed among the Greek-speaking believers, the Hellenists, toward the Hebrew-speaking believers because their widows were being discriminated against in the daily food lines. So the 12 called a meeting of the disciples, and they said this. Goodness gracious, what is this? They said this. It wouldn't be right for us to abandon responsibilities for preaching and teaching the word of God to help with the care of the poor. So friends, choose 7 men from among you whom everyone trusts, men full of the Holy Spirit and good sense, and we'll assign them this task. Meanwhile, we'll stick to our assigned task of prayer and speaking God's word. Listen, it's not that the apostles were too important to wait on tables. They had to do something more important, which was to equip the believers for the work. They had to teach the word of God. As an apostle of our church, my main job is to be visionary and teacher. I have an executive pastor who executes on the vision. I have staff people who execute in different departments, the youth, the music, education. I can't not do it all. I put my best and brightest people on the most important task, and I put myself above some of those tasks so that I can do what I'm anointed to do. Many of y'all are wasting precious time doing things that are not as important as need to be done, and you're wasting your oil because you're not in your sweet spot because you got lazy people on your bus. You've got people who are on your bus wasting your precious time, your precious resources, because you don't want to hurt their feelings. I hope I'm helping somebody. I'm trying to liberate somebody tonight. And watch this. Watch this. Listen, some of y'all are doing some of your friends and family and coworkers a disservice because you don't want to hurt their feelings, and you're robbing them of moving to a place where they can be more productive. Maybe your organization has outgrown them, or maybe they have outgrown your organization. You might do better releasing them to go somewhere else. I love it when teams trade players, right? They send players to different teams. And sometimes when a player is released from one team, they go to another team, watch this, and do better than they did on the old team. So some of y'all may be holding back some people from going to the next level, from going from good to great, because you don't want to hurt them, but you're really hurting them because you're repressing them because they can't be great in your current system, your current structure. You got to have the courage to release people so they can be great and your organization can be great. Maybe what you need in this moment is for God to shake up your situation so that you can be great again. I need somebody to type in the comments, shake it up, God, shake it up. Y'all know what happens to Coca-Cola when it just sits with the top off? It goes flat. Some of y'all need to put the top back on your organization, on your relationships, and you need to allow God to shake that thing up so you can get some fears back in it, some change back in it, some transformation back in it, some progress back in it. Y'all are afraid to shake stuff up, and you got the same people on the same bus complaining that you're not going anywhere because you are not brave enough to get the wrong people off the bus. Can somebody say, I've got to make some seat changes? I've got to make some seat changes. I got to get some people off of the bus. I got to put some people, and watch this, listen to this. There's some grace here. I got some grace for you. You don't have to kick everybody off the bus. You just got to make sure they're in the right seat. Some people might need to be in a different department. Some people might need another scope of responsibility. It's not that they're bad people. They're just not in the right seat. They are acting out of their comfort zone, their giftedness. They're not acting within their comfort level. And you have got to find the sweet spot for people on the bus, or you may just need to get them off altogether. Before you kick people off, do an assessment. See if they're in the right bus. See if they're on the right seat on your bus. Watch this. You do people a disservice by keeping them on the bus that they're not equipped to ride on. Oftentimes, we don't want to hurt people's feelings when they don't measure up, but you end up hurting them and your organization when you don't tell them the truth. Are y'all with me tonight? Listen, I want to do something I don't normally do. I want to open it up for engagement. Based upon what I've been saying, what I've been teaching tonight, I need your questions. Something I said, you're like, but what about this? What do you do about that? I need to hear your questions. This, now, if y'all don't want to talk to me, I get it. You don't have to talk to me, but I'm here for you tonight. Ask me a question about what I taught tonight. Is there any point of clarification you need? Or is there a situation you're in right now where you're like, man, I got this person on this bus, but I don't know what to do about it. I know they're in the wrong seat. I know they're out of their comfort zone. Ask me a question. And let me see if I can answer it for you. Come on, give me a question tonight. But the most important thing you need to know right now is that God wants you to be mobile. He wants to move you forward. He wants you to make progress. He wants you to go from good to great. But that requires making sure, watch this, you got the right people in the right seats. What if you need closure? Portia, closure is a good thing. And so the way you get closure is by speaking truth to love in that person and telling them, this is not working out. I want you to be great. I want our organization to be great. And you come up with a performance plan. And then if they don't meet the performance plan, then at some point you've got to act and make a decision to go on and move on and get closure that way. We need closure. What if the people don't want to change or move? If you don't move or change, you die, right? And so Tiffany, you if you're the leader of this team, you've got to make a decision on what's best for the team and not allow other people who are unwilling to move to keep everybody else stagnant. You got to let people go. At some point, you got to pull the bus over and say, I'm sorry, but this is where you get off. Huh? What if they don't want to move? You gotta help them move. Anybody else? Any other questions before we leave tonight? Changing seats can make you uncomfortable, especially having to take a lower seat. Sometimes, Crystal, a demotion is really a promotion because some people are out of position and it's stressful and it's killing them. Sometimes you bless people by giving them a demotion because they were drowning anyway. Would you rather somebody drown or be able to swim and enjoy their life? What if you're the only spiritual person, only spiritual surrounding of this person? Then you pray for that person. You let them know that you want to let them know that I want what's best for you. And that's why we're having this difficult conversation. This is why I'm putting this performance plan in place. And so you speak truth in love. It's not to destroy them, it's to help them. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, guys, like I said, I ain't gonna hold you long tonight. I just want to stop by and share these nuggets with you. If this blessed you tonight, can you put some fire in the chat? Can you put some fire in the chat if this blessed you tonight? Tap the screen, TikTok, 3 times if I said something that helped you tonight. I just want to make sure I'm helping somebody tonight. Put some fire in the chat, YouTube, if I'm helping you tonight. God bless each and every one of y'all. Can I pray for you real quick? Father, I just thank you for each and every brother and sister who stopped by tonight. God, I pray that what I said tonight helps somebody to make a determination. I'm moving from good to great. I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to stay stuck. I want to move ahead. I'm going forward, not backwards. And so, Father, tonight, give us the courage to be able to have those difficult conversations for people who no longer need to be on our bus. Father God, for those people who are not working, for those people not pulling their weight, help us to have a conversation that either challenges them to pick up the slack or to get off the bus to make room for somebody who wants to work. So Father God, help us to all have those meaningful and difficult conversations that hopefully prove fruitful to move us from good to great. God, I thank you for each and every brother and sister who themselves are trying to get on the right seat, trying to get on the right bus. And I pray that we would take our own self-assessment to see, am I a level 5 leader? Am I dependable? Am I capable? Am I competent? Am I moving the team forward? Am I a team player? Do I want success for not just myself, but for my team? And so God, I pray that we would become the change that we want to see for our organizations, our businesses, our families, our relationships, because we all realize tonight, Father, that we move at the speed of relationships. God, we love you tonight. We bless you, and we thank you for this time we've shared together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, thank y'all for being on tonight. Listen, I got to tell you something. In the morning, I will be praying on my YouTube channel and my Facebook channel only. So all my TikTokers, if you want to catch the prayer in the morning, go to Dr. Stacy L. Spencer's YouTube channel. I'll be traveling. And so I'm going to be on those channels only. So please join us in the morning for prayer. I'll be on YouTube and Facebook only tomorrow. Got me? And LinkedIn. Also, thank y'all for sowing where you're growing. For those of you who keep sowing into this ministry, I could not do what I do without you. So thank you for sowing where you're growing. And if you want to sow tonight, it's right there on the screen. Tithers, if you want to tithe to our church and help the work of our church, you can give to $NDCC Memphis. And if you want to sow into this teaching ministry, you can give to $RealTalkSLS. Thank you for sowing where you're growing. And I pray that what you sow into good ground tonight will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And listen, if you have not subscribed to my YouTube channel, go do that. For all the married couples out there, I got some good news and some bad news. Good news is you can catch my wife and I on YouTube on Naked and Unashamed SLS. Go subscribe there. The bad news is we sold out. But it's good news too. We sold out of our Love and the Bluff conference. Yay! 25 couples will be with us June 7th through the 9th. We sold out. I want to keep it intimate. And so those 25 couples will be joining us. There'll be more to come. We're going to have an international retreat in Cancun next year. More will be coming about that. So if you want to travel with us next year to Cancun for our marriage retreat, please get ready for that. I'm going to give you more information about that coming down the road. So do me a favor, share this Bible study, this Real Talk Bible study. Share this right now. Share this live stream right now on your, thank you, Courtney. Thank you, Rob B. Thank you for those who just sold. I saw that. Thank y'all so much. I pray what you sold tonight will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. May God bless each and every one of you for giving in this ministry. Thank you for spending time with me. You don't know how much it means to be with you every Wednesday night. I run home and I look forward to spending time with my friends for Real Talk Bible Study. Love you guys. And we will see you in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. We'll be praying. Go and be blessed. And I will see you guys first thing in the morning on YouTube and Facebook only. All right? Spread the word. Love y'all.